If you turn that on. We do have one of our missionary teams, Loaf, Love of a Father from Haiti, Nathan and Katie Clark, they're going to be sharing with us this morning. So if you guys want to come on up, if you want to know where your tithe money has been going, this is one of the teams in Haiti they're going to share with us. Yes, please. Thank you.
Hello. Get settled here. Yeah, as Pastor Greg said, my name is Nathan Clark, and this is my wife, Katie, and we are Loaf Ministries, which stands for Love of a Father. We work with teen moms, young women who are pregnant, help them through prenatal care and childbirth and getting into education, all that kind of stuff we'll talk more about in a little more detail. Our mission statement is to seek and to save the lost, and we do that by providing young moms with education and encouragement and other resources that they need when they're in need, because there is a lot of need in the country of Haiti. So I'm going to pass it to myself.
They've never actually met us.
That's right. You guys.
Well, they have met you.
We drove a little ways to get here. So yeah, a couple of you know me from long in the past. We were talking, I'm a pastor and his wife. From a long, long time back. We're trying to decide how long it's been. It's probably been 15 years. Lana Tyra taught my fourth grade class, and I gave her a lot of trouble. She still wants to see me again after 15 years, so I guess it wasn't too bad. But, we're having a blast being here and talking to you guys, getting to see a couple familiar faces. I'm from the Crawfordsville area, so kind of here, but not real far. I mean, not real close. She's from also Indiana, but a little bit farther south than that. So, I'll let her talk a little bit more about us or about what we do, rather, in Haiti.
It's been a long time since I held a mic. So we work in the Caribbean country of Haiti. We work down on the southern coast in a town called Lakai. It's hot all the time, so we're freezing. Just so if I start shaking up here, you know why. All of our moms that we work with are between 13 and 18 years old. And so we usually start with them when they're expecting. We've had moms come to us in the early stages, in the later stages, it just depends. And then we walk with her through the rest of her pregnancy, helping her to get a safe delivery, and then post-birth, getting her back into school. And so just like here, a lot of times the church doesn't have a great response to teen pregnancy, to pregnancy outside of marriage. And obviously there are scriptural standards that we should meet, but everyone falls short, and all of us sin in different ways. The difference is that pregnancy is a very obvious. You can't walk into a building if you're 14 and people not look at you if your stomach is that big. They know, and they know you're not married at 14, and so those judgments start to happen. And so just like that's a problem in America, it is also a problem in Haiti. The church doesn't ever speak on those things. There are no students in the room, young people, so I can be a little bit more. The church doesn't speak about sex. But the moment that you step outside of bounds, you don't get to go to church anymore. Your schools don't teach anything. Your parents usually are too busy, whether they're in the market selling things or whether they are at home. Even just with like the daily chores in Haiti, their schedules are full. And so having those conversations is just super taboo. And so you don't know. There's not after school activities for children. When you're 13, 14, 15 years old, a lot of times your parents aren't home when you get home from school. You find things to do. And I'm not for a second saying it's the right thing to do. Don't get me wrong. But it is not explicitly taught. And so then when you find yourself in that situation, you're left with two options. You can keep this baby, and in all honesty, your mom and dad are probably going to kick you out. If they do let you stay, they're probably going to tell you, well, we're not feeding you and that kid, so you're going to have to figure something out. Or we definitely aren't sending you to school, even if we do give you like enough food to sustain you. And so life just becomes this never-ending cycle of searching for the next guy. So I had a baby with this guy. He left. Now I have to search for the next man to take care of me. And then he gets me pregnant, and then he leaves. So then I look for the next guy. And so we one to step in and break that cycle, because that doesn't sound like a very good choice. But your second choice is to get rid of that baby. And as of July, abortion is actually legal in Haiti now. Prior to that, it was illegal in all different stages. But our president actually stepped up and changed the entire penal code for the country by himself in July. So that was surprising, and made abortion legal. But prior to that, and even, I would say even now, most of your abortions aren't going to take place in a clinic. It's going to be you and your best friend, or you and your mom, trying to figure out how to get rid of this baby, which obviously puts your life in danger, and is also a terrible option. And so when these girls find themselves in this situation, most of the time they're uneducated in the first place. Even if they knew that they shouldn't have sex before marriage, the guy convinced them with something, told them, oh, I can't get you pregnant, or, oh, it doesn't work this way, and people are so susceptible. And when you live in a desperate state, when you're already poor, even if you are still going to school and live with your mom and dad, if there's a guy that comes around and is talking to you and promising you all of these things, they sound really good. And so, yeah, so we attempt to step in and be a good option where there isn't one. And so we walk with her through that delivery, and then post get her back into school. Schools are very resistant to taking our girls. They don't want young ladies who are moms, because they think, oh, it'll corrupt everybody. If they know that you have a kid, if all the other seventh graders know you have a kid, then all the seventh graders are going to go have kids. Which is the mindset I feel like we have a lot of times in America too, like, oh, you keep that one out. But does it make sense? So we don't lie, but we definitely omit things sometimes when applying for our girls to go back to school, so that they do get that chance. The chance to continue that education and then be able to step up and provide for that child, and not just have to search for that next man that can meet their needs for a little bit. So that is the basics of what we do. We have a feeding program. We have a feeding program for the girls that live outside of the house. We do weekly food bags. We now have a housing facility open because a lot of our moms didn't have places to go. Like, one of our moms was raised from the time she was 1 year old. My English is awful. She was raised with another family, and so when she got pregnant, they sent her away. But she never knew her mom, never knew her dad, doesn't have any family ties. And so she had lived with the baby's father for a while, but things went really south, and she was getting abused. And she would come to meetings with, like, her head was gashed open at one point, and she had bruises all over her body. And she would never tell me the truth. It wasn't until, I think, March or April that she finally explained to me, but I assumed some things. And so we got her into the house first, and then some of her other moms, whose situations were also pretty awful, moved into our housing facility. So that is a little more 24/7 care, which is a little bit harder than our bags and our school and our medical care programs. But it's been good, and the Lord has blessed it. It's been every bit as crazy as you can imagine, having four teenage girls and their toddlers living in our house together. Lots of drama, lots of teenage girls are going to have drama anyway, and then you add in the fact that they have babies, and then those babies fight over something, and then those, you're like, 2-year-olds are fighting, why are we all mad about it? But anyway, so it's been good. It has, yeah. That was a really good ending, but.
Okay. Yeah, that's a lot of the, summary and some of the finer details of what we do. Like she said, pregnancy is a very vulnerable stage of life, and so we want to help these girls that just don't really have a lot of other avenues to turn to for help, to help them get back on the right path and be able to, have a responsible and healthy take on the rest of their lives, to keep them together with their babies, etc. So as for the coronavirus, just because that was brought up, it was supposedly down there. We had it early this year, a little bit after the U.S. did, maybe a month or so. They told us...
We closed on March 18th.
Closed in March, okay, mid-March. And then we were shut for a few months, and I say that loosely because everything was still open. Some people wore masks.
The airports and
except for the airports, yeah. The government, some of the churches, some of that stuff was shut down, you know, for a little bit, but even the supermarkets and everything, which you have to buy food, so it makes sense. But the point being, they were shut down or restricted. You had masks and stuff for a few months, and then it kind of opened back up in July, for better or worse. And so far, it hasn't been bad. I'm not really sure how, because people stand way too close together in the best of times, let alone, you know, in this pandemic time. I mean, 6 feet is a joke. It's kind of like you were standing 6 inches apart, and now maybe you're 12 inches apart at best. But we live in the city, so there's a lot of people packed into a small space. So I'm surprised it hasn't been worse than it has already, and the only possible explanation I've encountered for that is maybe because of the warm climate is a little bit less hospitable to, you know, keeping the virus alive. So it exists in Haiti, it's around, but we haven't heard of a whole lot of people getting it. Though we have heard also the other things, like some people who have gotten it kind of don't want to reveal that they have it because they might get killed, because people just kind of get in a panic about whatever, and they say, well, don't give us your illness, we'll just beat you to death. Yeah,
the first two confirmed cases, people literally showed up at their houses, like trying to burn their houses down and wanting to kill the people because that would stop the spread. But I really forgot about that time period. March was a long time ago, guys.
3 years.
Yeah, about 3 years ago was March 2020. Yeah, so it's Haiti is a very volatile culture already, without going into too much stuff, but there's a lot of political upheaval right now. So the president has been president for, what, 5 years, right, is the term?
5 years is the term. He's been elected for four.
So he's been, yeah, anyway, so 5 years is the term. It's about up. And yeah, it took a long time to get somebody elected in the first place, is what you're saying. That was chaotic, because it's pretty dirty politics down there. You know, again, people could be getting killed for voting the wrong way, or just the people who bother to go vote were probably, you know, we talk about some election interference here, it probably doesn't happen or very much, but over there, that's a very real thing, people buying votes right and left, from what I understand. I mean, because it's so much easier to go put money in somebody's hand and just say, vote like this.
Yeah, in the election of our current president, less than 10% of the population actually voted, with every sixth vote getting thrown out for no apparent reason. And literally it took a year and a half to actually hold an election, because on election days there were so many threats for the people who were going. So actually going to vote, you're risking your life, because it's possible people will kill you. If they see you walk out of the polls and they don't think you voted how they wanted you to, you could lose your life. So most Haitians don't ever vote and have no desire to vote at all. And yeah, his term should be up in February. He was supposed to hold an election in November, and he didn't. Last year, he was supposed to hold an election for a Senate last November, and he didn't. So he's been operating without a Senate since January, and now he's going to be overstaying his term. There's people who act like he's going to have an election next year, but we don't really know. But yeah, so politics is crazy.
So yeah, there's a lot going on there. Like she said, he's kind of just doing more or less whatever he wants right now. Adding on top of that, difficulties for us and for everybody who is either American and living in Haiti, or, you know, employed by American organizations, or has American family members who are sending money. We're all kind of in a bind, because I don't know exactly what happened, but something artificial with monetary policy, you know. They're manipulating the currency in some way that I don't fully understand. And so, long story short, for us, it means the exchange rate has dropped dramatically over the course of about 1 to 2 months. So they were having steady inflation, which is its own problem. So the exchange rate was slowly going up and up and up, but that's not a big problem for us, because we're getting our money out of country and changing it. Well, the exchange rate suddenly fell, like I said, over about maybe 6 weeks, from we could trade in one U.S. dollar for 120 gourdes is their currency, and it fell down over those few weeks to about 60, 63 So our dollars have been going literally half as far as they were before, and prices have not really responded to that because it's a very sudden and very artificial kind of thing. So without getting into all the weird economics of that that I don't fully understand, it's a rough time for us financially. We're more than ever. So we did have a small but balanced budget, and now we are in the hole every month just because of nothing. So as far as what's going on with us there. So that's us. That's a few details about us. We have four children who we consider ours, who are living in our house. We have one fully adopted and some measure of guardianship over the other ones that we consider our family. Our 20-year-old daughter, we're 28 and 27, and we have our adopted 20-year-old daughter. So. Yeah, you're getting old, you 27-year-old. So that's always fun to tell people that we have a 20-year-old daughter, and they kind of make eyes like, I didn't think they were that old, but they're trying to figure us out, you know. And then we have three 3-year-olds now. We've had them for about 2 years or so, and that is chaos if any of you have. I mean, probably most of you have not had three 3-year-olds at the same time, but it is keeps us busy. We're very busy, very tired, but we're happy to be here. Just here for a couple of weeks. And so we're seeing you guys on the way out, and we're happy to be here. And I assume we're going to continue to worship, because I don't think my wife has anything else to say.
Do you have any questions?
Yeah, any questions is fine, yeah.
What's the spiritual influence there, voodoo and Catholic or what?
Yeah, you hit the nail on the head. So the spiritual influence, or there's a lot of Catholicism, but it's blended so much with voodoo and other local tradition kind of stuff. At one point, they were like excommunicated from the broader Catholic Church. I don't know if that's still the case or not. She says no. Apparently they kissed and made up, but I don't think anything ever changed, so I'm not sure why that is.
And how long have you been doing your ministry?
How long have we been doing our ministry? So we started going to Haiti in 2012. We incorporated in the United States in 2015. Started doing a little bit here and there, and then we've been living there full time for going on 2.5 years. We started with our first girls in 2017, so that's kind of our track. 2015, 2017, and then the next year we were there. So.
Is the language of the country English?
The language of the country is Haitian Creole, which is a mixture of French and other African influences. So it was kind of came about as a slave language to confuse some of the slave owners, and they use it in their revolting and, you know, gaining independence. They could speak a language of their own. So it was colonized by France. The other part of the island was colonized by Spain, and that's the Dominican Republic. So, yeah, Creole is their mother tongue, their native language, but a lot of official things, you know, banks, contracts, doctors, that stuff is in French.
How have you been affected by the hurricanes and, you know, earthquake? I don't know, do you have earthquakes too?
Yeah,
you know, you hear about a lot of damage.
Yeah, occasionally there's some really bad weather conditions. So in 2010 was the really big earthquake in Port-au-Prince. Now, we might not have mentioned, we are down to the south and west of Port-au-Prince in Haiti. So we are, it's only about 120 miles, but the roads are such that it takes at least 4 hours on a good day to make the drive. So we haven't had any big earthquakes since we've been there.
We have two. Okay.
A couple little tremblings for our location. Port-au-Prince is closer to the fault line. We had Hurricane Matthew, that was in 2016. We weren't there for that, but it did hit our area, and our car did fly.
It hit our house.
Our house. But
we
had a second story we could go to, so it wasn't, you know, it didn't knock down any houses or anything, but lots of flooding when that happened, and our car engine was flooded, so that was rough. So occasionally, yes, we have some really bad weather conditions, but not all the time.
Gangs are everywhere, right?
Gangs, yeah, especially in Port-au-Prince. I hear there's some in Lakai where we are, but it's not such a big thing. But in Port-au-Prince, there's a lot of violent gang activity. I shouldn't say that on film. Shouldn't reference any actual gangs on film. Just in case.
One of the names of the gang in our town is really funny, and so I laughed, but you probably shouldn't actually say it.
On the off chance, yeah. Yep.
How can we pray specifically for your ministry?
Absolutely.
I have a big one. So we say we're both flying. We said we were flying out tomorrow. That's untrue. Nathan is flying out tomorrow. My passport is held up in not here, so I don't get to fly back with my husband. So he will be going back to being a full-time dad of 3 toddlers and a 20-year-old by himself for a couple weeks. Hopefully my passport comes soon. And then dealing with ministry stuff, obviously. And so praying for him in that, because that's a lot. And he's got it. He can do it, but it won't be easy.
Is your passport hung up in the U.S. or down in Haiti?
In the U.S. So yeah, to be clear, we were trying to get it renewed. And with the pandemic stuff, they have severely limited appointments to get it renewed quickly the way we used to do it or would have done it. And so we thought it was going to work out in the time that we had here, and it didn't. So ended up having to mail it in and just try to expedite as many things as we could in the process. So yes, I will be not alone, but without my wife for a couple of weeks. Hopefully not longer than a couple of weeks. So that'll be interesting.
Hopefully it goes faster, but
yeah.
It's a weird time, and there's 2 holidays. It's a weird time, obviously, with COVID, and everything is delayed, and less people are going to work and stuff like that, so everything's slower. But then also there's Thanksgiving in there, and then within the 6-week period they give me is also Christmas. So I'm praying I get back to my family before Christmas. My mother would love it if I were still here, but she'll be okay if I'm not too. So.
What's another prayer request?
Other prayer requests as far as ministry, that is ministry, because him, but I think mostly for our moms. We had some staffing issues earlier in the year, and it bred a lot of contempt and bad attitudes towards things. So we've been working really hard with the girls and getting them refocused on the purpose and on the Lord, and having conversations just about being grateful for everything God has blessed them with. It's hard as a missionary to stand here and be like, our girls struggle with gratefulness whenever you guys give us money. But like teenage girls everywhere, they're still teenage girls. And so even though they came from nothing and they have a lot more than they've ever had, we're still struggling with that. And so prayers for them, prayers for the Lord to open their eyes for everything he's done for them and be able to work in their hearts in a way that he hasn't got to. So we got to baptize one of our first 5 girls in September, and that was 3 long years of waiting for that, and working through lots of things and lots of crying and lots of moments. But that was a giant praise. And so using that, but also just being able to enter into our other girls' hearts, the country in general, they have a lot of Christian influence still, but it's almost too pervasive. Like, everywhere you go, there will be a gas station that's called, like, the gas station of Immaculate Conception, or auto parts of, like, the grace of God. And so it's everywhere. And so it leads to less intimacy with the Lord, because it's just everywhere. And everybody believes it, and everybody thinks like this, but yet they don't live it anywhere. And so getting our girls into that deeper relationship, to focus them past, like, hey, when I'm up here talking, I sit down, I don't actually stand up when we have our Bible studies, but when I'm speaking to you, it's not because I'm just want to cite the name of the Lord. That's not the point. The point isn't just to say, oh, yes, I'm good by the grace of God every time you ask me how I am, because it's flippant. It doesn't mean anything anymore. But our purpose is for you to have reverence. I'm finding the word in Creole, but not in English. Quincy Fougonje.
It means gracious.
Quincy. I know the whole Bible verse in Creole, but it's not coming to my head in English at all. So that's a problem. But just that reverence and the fear of the Lord and respect that goes deeper than, okay, you're God, I'm going to pray for this, I'm going to get it, and I'm going to be happy. But that it's so much more relationship than that. So we're praying for our girls in that, and then in us, then for us in that. It's definitely a country full of spiritual warfare. And so the moment we step back on U.S. soil, it's all a little lighter. And whenever we're in Haiti, it's just constant. And so for that, for encouragement and strength for us to keep doing what the Lord has us doing.
Anybody else? Let us pray for you before. We're not going to let you just walk off the stage. We want to pray for you and maybe even lift up some of these needs here. So let's pray. Father, we just thank you for Nathan and Katie, and we pray and thank you for Loaf Ministries, Love of a Father, that you have raised up. Thank you that we can support them and help minister to mothers and save babies and families and introduce them to you in Haiti. We pray that you pour out your spirit there, Lord, that one, and the most important thing is that you would take care of her passport right now, Lord. That somehow you would expedite that. You would move it through all the confusion and allow her to get home with her husband so that they can continue to minister. We pray for these moms, Lord, that they would know you, that their children would come to know you, that they would be grateful and that they would see the provision of the Lord Jesus Christ, that it would not just be cultural, but it would be a relationship that they would have. And they would see that modeled by Nathan and Katie. So pour out your spirit upon them, Lord. Bless them. Provide for them. Stretch their money as a like a widow's mite, Lord, that you would pour out your spirit and that they would give everything to these mothers. And we pray for protection of babies. We pray that there would be a move of your spirit in this ministry, Lord. Supernatural provision from this day forward. And we thank you that we can be a part of it. Lord, we pray for the word of God to run swiftly throughout that area. And it would be the true word of God, not a cultural word, but the word that would pierce them, it would be implanted in their heart and would change who they are. So we pray for strong, healthy families. We pray for fathers to come back and get these moms and take care of their children. And we pray you'd pour your spirit out again upon the Clark family and upon Loaf Ministries. And we pray that you would be lifted up and be glorified. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, guys.